And yet every time I tell you to give like a little bit more space
more between. Space between the pop filter and the mic. I know. God damn it.
It's okay. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast that identifies the true villain of Survivor Token Sheens, the Beans. I'm your host, Stephen Levine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon. Stephen Levine.
I was about to say. Wait, you are the Bean.
I am.
La in French is the.
It's me.
Holy shit, Stephen. You destroyed Token Sheens.
I've been here the whole time.
And you're in Chicago.
Whoa.
Famously, where there is a bean.
A giant ass bean.
It's all coming together. If you asked Jerry, he'd probably say, yes, the villain was the beans, actually.
Yes, actually.
Also, you know, going back to my comparison of him, of Rory from Vanuatu, I feel like Rory would have also just eaten a handful of dry beans.
I believe that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the vibe fits. Before we started watching the episode, Stephen, you said to remind you of something you wanted to talk about at the top. So
yes.
The floor is yours.
The floor is mine. All right, Jared, I've successfully defended our honor.
Okay. I don't have any, but what do you mean?
I was entered in the unranked podcast Survivor reality pool.
Oh, okay.
I won, clearly.
Damn.
Like, it was not... Like, we went into the final two episodes where it was pretty obvious that I was going to win. There was a chance I could lose. Final episode, there was no way I could lose.
Wow, it's almost...
I had all five of the remaining contestants.
Jesus. It's almost like we spend twice a week, every week, going through and breaking down the ways that they edit this show and the stories that they tell.
I would just like to say that I feel good about this.
You should.
As a Survivor podcast host... I felt like I was not glorified. I felt, what's the word I'm looking for here, Jared?
Exonerated?
I did not create a crime. There were no crimes committed.
Let's be honest. Hosting a podcast is a crime. There are times in my life where, like, the fact that we do this comes up naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's, like, a fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have you talked to people about it? When you do, do you feel any shame at all?
I oftentimes try to avoid saying it.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair.
In that the oh yeah, I do a podcast. Oh really? What's it about? So you know the reality TV show Survivor. Cuz then I have like it's not that I'm ashamed of the show. I like doing the show. I like being here with you.
Yeah.
And we have a great audience, so it's fun to do. But for anyone that's like outside the bubble, you have to then go into this long explanation of what the show is and why our show is different from all these other shows
sure.
that exist.
I don't have so much of difficulty with that. What I have difficulty with is being a 30-year-old dude and saying the phrase, I have a podcast.
I have a
because
podcast.
The worst people you know are 30-year-old dudes with podcasts.
Hey.
And I don't want to be affiliated with them.
By the time this comes out... No, never mind. I was going to say, I will be a 32-year-old man.
I was saying, your birthday is really, like, coming up, huh?
It'd be 2 days from when this episode comes out.
Okay, well, behalf of our listeners, happy birthday. I'm sure I will do something with you around then anyway, so...
Happy birthday to me. Crack one open for Steven. Here, wait, I'll do it first.
That was a good crack.
Thank you. I'm full of crack.
Is there something we need to talk about?
Nah, I just have a big ass.
Yeah, you do, actually. We should drink the Edinburgh whiskey.
Ooh, we should do that.
On your birthday episode.
So, as in the one for Monday?
Yeah, because we're recording probably on your birthday or
oh,
day before, day
sense.
After. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Hell
let's
yeah.
do it.
What do you want to do for your birthday?
I don't know, man. You're going to have to talk to Michaela about this.
Oh, is Michaela planning something?
I don't think so.
Okay. I'll actually have to check my text. Might have talked to me about it already.
There's a lot going on. I think Michaela is doing some, like, PA work. On that day. So Who knows?
We could go to Galloping Ghost.
We could go to Galloping Ghost. I have rehearsal on that day.
Oh, boo. You shouldn't have rehearsal on your birthday. That's a crime.
I agree. But
I'm going to go arrest Travis.
go arrest my director.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, luckily you're going to see him in 2 days at D&D, so.
That's right. That's 2 days.
Well, assuming he'll be there. Who knows if he'll be there?
I think he said he was going to be there. Who's to say?
I don't. Sometimes, and I'll admit this straight up, Michaela hates that I do this, I just glaze over some of these group chats.
No, I do too. I think it's very human.
Because there are so many messages, and I'm like, I don't want to do
that. I'm the DM, and I glaze over. The reason why I ask people what their schedule is, and then the next day I respond, is so I don't have to read them until the next day when they've all come in, and then I can just go, all right. With my schedule, with whatever way you put down, what gets the most amount of people in the room? And sometimes that's a trick question because I think back to my, I sometimes send that text out and then I look at my own schedule and I go, Jared, there was only one time available to you. Why didn't you just say what time?
Why didn't you say the obvious?
My brain is soup and life is fork.
I like that phrase. I don't know if you've said it to me before, but I like it.
Probably. I did not create it, unfortunately.
No.
No stolen valor here.
It's a good one. Hopefully, by the time this episode goes up, the Minnesota Timberwolves will be tied 2-2.
Yeah, I don't know much about basketball, clearly, from our conversations with Carl and others via emails. But we were watching the first quarter before we watched this Survivor episode, because we're doing two today. And that was a massacre.
Yeah, we watched the first quarter of Game 3, and Timberwolves, I just checked, were up 31 at half.
It is kind of crazy how often us talking about a game that is currently going while we're recording comes up, despite it being spoiled like milk by the time we're done recording the episode, let alone when it comes out, let alone if people listen to it later as they're going through the backlog.
This game will be 5 days old by the time it gets out to the audience.
Except for that one time that we were watching the Vikings-Colts game, and the Vikings were down 33-0, we packed it up, and then had to stop the episode to go finish watching the game.
That was a thing of beauty, and I've never seen anything like that before.
That was unhinged.
Have you gone back and watched the Paul Allen, the Minnesota Vikings commentator highlights? I think I sent it to you.
Probably,
once.
Yeah, because you've sent them all to me.
Yeah, that one game was like unhinged from Paul Allen. He rips into the Indianapolis Colts punter, tells him he's terrible live on air.
Oh my god.
He yells at a cornerback who will eventually be on our team.
Hilarious.
That he is a cheater.
Hilarious.
It's because it's Stephon Gilmore.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's bananas, man.
He's good.
He is good. He does it with passion and
More passion. More energy.
Are we just memes?
Yeah.
We're just entirely full of memes.
Load bearing.
If you were to say, what is your brain full of, like, percentage-wise?
Oh. Yeah. I mean, references and memes is probably, like, 30%.
Okay.
Existential dread is probably a 10% or so. Some of it, I'd say like 5%, it used to be a lot more, is dedicated to like keeping track of what my blood sugar is in the back of my mind, probably. And then the rest of it is just angst.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Yeah. What about you?
I'm not going to give percentages, but...
You just made me do it.
I did. I'm just going to throw out random bits of information here. So, fine. I'll do my best. I'm not going
to
equal 100% here because this is not a thought out thought. I'm going to say also some memes. Let's go 10% memes.
Okay.
Let's go 15% song lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
3% song lyrics that I'm supposed to know.
Sure. Like memorizing for like Rent, for example.
Uh-huh. Let's go 10% of theme songs from my childhood that I don't need to know even slightly.
Sure.
3% the quadratic equation.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It's up there. It lives there.
Weird.
You don't remember the quadratic equation?
No.
X equals opposite B plus or minus square root B squared minus 4AC all over 2A.
Are you okay?
No.
Okay.
I mean, that's a big question, but all right. I was also the son of a math teacher. So
oh, that's true.
It kind of, it lives with you.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of formulas that I have no business using in the rest of my life.
Oh, you know what? No, a solid 10% of my brain is like knowing, is like just D&D.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Stat blocks and like, you know, what number is what modifier and what skills are attached to what skill or what, like, in like history is an intelligence based skill, for example. Yeah.
Ooh, there's a good chunk of my brain that's video game maps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love Expedition 33. There is no mini map.
Oh, man.
It's, you just got to remember the paths.
Okay. Okay.
It's intense.
Hmm.
But yeah, that part really brought me back to my childhood of like, oh yeah. I do think, and I don't know if I've talked about this before, like I have a borderline perfect directional sense or directional memory. I think a lot of that is playing PS1 games growing up.
Oh, sure.
Because they didn't have maps.
Yeah. Because we didn't have the power to show you a map.
Right. So I would just have to, like, I had to learn how to navigate a world, and that helped me a lot, I think, in a weird way.
I remember, like, early games would have a map, but it would essentially just be your point and a destination point on a compass, and there was nothing else on there. You just have to figure out your way how to get there.
Yeah, but even stuff like you playing a lot of Zelda, I'm sure, helped, because, like, you don't have a, you get a map as you go, but you might not have one in the beginning of the dungeon.
Oh, no, hold on. Let me explain my relationship with Zelda. I know I'm way off track for the rest of the percentage of my brain. Fine. It's fine.
I started this.
I rented Ocarina of Time as a child because that was a thing that you did at a time. You just rent games.
Yes, you see, for the youths.
Youths.
There was this place called Blockbuster and then later Family Video.
We did not have Blockbuster or Family Video.
What did you have?
Non-chain situation. There was a Hollywood Video.
Oh yeah, okay.
That might have been a chain.
Yeah,
but most of the time it was just a local family owned store.
Oh, okay. Like 80% of the store would be like DVDs or VHSs to rent, and then there'd be a corner in the back that was for video games, and it ruled.
I went straight to that corner every
always
single time.
Every time.
See what they had.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I had 3 days to beat Ocarina of Time as like a 7-year-old. I did not do it.
Yeah.
In fact, I got to... So, you've played Ocarina of Time?
Yeah, on the 3DS years later. I didn't beat it. I really liked it. I just got distracted.
Okay. So, the first dungeon is, like, very self-contained. It's easy to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. You then go into... The world opens up to you. You go to the castle town, and you explore. Well, I didn't know what the fuck to do there because I didn't think, like, the things that they were telling me were not exactly go here, do this.
Mm-hmm.
And even the hint person, which is an annoying fairy, is telling me to do a thing.
Hey, listen.
Yeah. But not telling me exactly how to do the thing.
Oh my God. That was the name of my pop punk band.
Hey, listen.
Or my post-hardcore band. Yeah. I forgot it for all these years.
Okay.
Huh. Anyway.
Anyway, the game directs you very clear and obviously, now that I'm an adult, to quote-unquote break the rules and break into the castle. But I didn't understand that, you see.
Yeah, yep.
Like, I am a 7-year-old and I want to follow the roads, but you're not supposed to take the roads because the guards are on the roads.
Yeah.
You're supposed to go walk in the grass, the clear and obvious dirt path where there are no guards. But here I am. A big old rule follower.
That has not left you.
Oh.
I'm so sorry to say.
That's fine.
And to clarify my last comment, I was in 3 bands very close together, and the middle one was the shortest amount of time, which was the post-hardcore band. So my metal band's name was Zealot, which was actually, like, Halo. I mean, it's also, like, religious stuff, but, like,
sure,
we were naming after Halo, which Halo's named after a lot of religious stuff. And then Hey Listen was the post-hardcore band. That was only like a couple months. Then we transitioned to be a pop punk band called, I think, Seasons of Love. No.
Oh,
not that one.
Well,
anyway,
how can you be a post-hardcore band without being first a hardcore band?
Well, is that an actual, that's not an actual question. No, it's not an actual question. There is a genre called post-hardcore. You know that. The silence is killing me.
You know what's not killing you? Emails. If you want to email us, feel free to do so. SurvivorTBT@gmail.com. That made you itch.
I hate Steven.
My bits are making Jared physically uncomfortable.
Giving me hives.
You can also message us on Reddit, u/SurvivorTBT, or on Patreon. You can follow us on Patreon for free if you want. You can see some goofy stuff. Or you can follow
us. Us doing an awful shot on there.
That is true. Or you can follow us, give us a couple bucks, and you can listen to some extra bonus episodes of non-Survivor-related content. There's, what, now 8 of them on there?
Maybe.
Yeah. A lot of stuff.
I don't manage it. You just tell me to sit down and talk in the mic, and I go, okay.
Sit down. Let's talk. Anyway, we've got some emails. First from Michael C. Michael says, great to have you guys back in routine, and Ethan was a fun guest, but I'm surprised he didn't bring up Jared ranking him dead last, considering he absolutely was on Survivor Africa.
Yes, exactly.
That's funny. Also, some of your and his predictions had me cackling, both from how massively wrong some were and how unintentionally correct some were.
That is how it is.
Carolina has a ... postscript to her Survivor journey that is very strange and weird, that involves a future contestant proposing to her at a future reunion, but she breaks off the engagement when he cheats on her with another future contestant.
Fascinating. Yeah, yeah. We got that in another email, but
that's more information.
Yeah, engagement at the reunion. Okay.
Yeah. The proposal scene is top one cringiest moment. You'll know it when you see it.
Okay.
Get ready for that.
I'm excited.
Whoop. All right. Gonna talk football here a second. Eddie George is not a former NFL player. He won the Heisman Trophy, best college player, typically on offense, but he can be defensive even... It's exceedingly rare.
Yeah, it's usually
can be a defensive player. I see
usually the best quarterback. Let's be real.
As a running back for Ohio State, he then played for the Oilers/Titans and went to the Pro Bowl in the late 90s, early 2000s for 4 seasons. Retired about 2004, I think, after 9 seasons in the NFL, which is about the standard for a running back, I feel.
Yeah.
As an Ohio State fan, he's definitely a legend, and I imagine there could be a few people on the season who would know him if Taj divulged that info.
Yeah, I mean, this must have been before we saw that scene, but yeah.
Yeah. I quite enjoy Token Sheens. It had some fun characters, which I will not... Well, I guess we know who these characters are. Taj, Aaron, Sandy, Candace, Steven, JT, Sydney, Tyson, Debbie being among my favorites.
That's a lot of favorites. That's like half the cast.
Coach is the definition of your mileage may vary from me. But to answer your question, he's a women's soccer coach at the collegiate level. So read into that what you will.
Yep, it's not helping his case.
Also, Jared, they did a season of 16 Sandys. It was called Gabon. And Joe is absolutely the we have JT at home.
It's so true. I honestly forget that Joe's on the season constantly because JT takes up that spot.
That's fair. Also, you said T-Bird has a podcast despite not making it very far / doing well. But just remember, she got 5th place, so she absolutely made it quite
That's
far.
True. Yeah, I guess I forgot she was in the final 5. She didn't have a big impact on the game.
Finally, I think it's quite cruel of Survivor to put a Sandy and a Sydney on the same tribe when Jared already has difficulty with the Sydney/Cindy, and I fully expect this to crop up at some point this season. Well, you have done really solid, but mostly because I'll let you...
Yeah, I put down at the reward challenge, like, in my notes at this point, I was like, who is the blonde girl? So, and Sandy goes home this episode. So it really isn't a problem because they were never on the show at the same time.
There you go.
For cool. Half an episode, they were.
Thank you, Michael. Love that email. That's great. That was from the premiere.
Thank you.
Yep. So timeline, that made sense for some of the things that were already explained or things that I said that contradict. Yeah, you get it. From Carl. Carl's episode 1 email. Hey, we Wisconsinites do more than just drink beer. We also drink whiskey, tequila, rum, mezcal, and moonshine, not to mention milk with every meal.
Mm, yeah, gross.
He said any meal, but I'm inferring every meal.
Every meal.
Yeah. Picture the episode. Oh, boy. It's Sandy.
She's insane. Yeah, it's her looking like Big Bird. And yeah, she's crazy.
She's something. Notes. This will actually be the last time ever that we go to a different location for the second season of a filming schedule. From here on out, every two seasons will be filmed in the same location. This is also the last non-island location that Survivor will be in, which makes me sad. This is also last 16-person cast, which we said. All in all, Survivor has undoubtedly been changing up to this point.
Yeah.
But this space in between this season and the next represents a major shift in the presentation of the show.
Hmm. I wonder if that'd be for the better or for the worse. I mean, people still watch Survivor, so clearly it isn't catastrophic.
Yeah.
I think that the
I think it's more of a financial change for Survivor in how do they survive.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense from the film in the same location for both seasons in a shooting schedule. Like, I'm kind of surprised they weren't doing that already, to be honest.
I believe this is the first time the tribe's clothing is color-coordinated. Jalapau's clothes are light red/pinkish, and Timbira's clothes are darker blackish hues.
I guess I just thought that was a coincidence, but that is too many people for that to be a coincidence.
No, it's a thing that they do, especially going forward, to, if not at the beginning, just trick your brain into saying, oh, this is one tribe, this is another tribe.
Yeah.
From what I can gather, Tocantins is pronounced closer to Tocantins than Tocantins in Portuguese. And I'm guessing there are probably some Tocantins listening to the podcast right now. Not really my joke, but I had to share it. I mean, the first time I said it when I was reading from a list of seasons, I said Tocantins. So.
Tocantins is what I would read it as without hearing it pronounced.
Yeah. And yes, another note for Carolina may not play again, but nonetheless, we'll see of her. Things I liked. Taj is incredulous. Clean up the outdoors? Which reminds me of when Terry got mad at her at Suri for putting her torch down in the wrong spot.
Oh, God, yeah.
Jeff accurately calling Sandy kind of amusing, a little odd.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
Very amusing. Very odd.
Very odd. Thank you. Moving on to Josh. Josh says, I think Survivor likes to slow play the information regarding alliances early on, especially when the votes are unanimous.
Hmm.
There's more going on behind the scenes that the show isn't as interested in showing in these early episodes. Yeah. This may be irrelevant by the time you actually end up reading this email on the podcast, but Survivor has announced that they will be releasing the Survivor 50 cast on May 28th. Not irrelevant quite yet.
Yeah.
Huh. But by the time we release the episode, it might be a little irrelevant.
Are you, Steven, are you going to look through the 50 cast and pull out people that we've seen? Okay,
yep.
Cool.
Yep. I will pull out people that we've seen that have not played since we have seen them.
Great.
Yeah. So if you want to avoid spoilers, be wary of May 28th.
Got it.
Jared, specifically.
I'm pretty good about, like, I don't Google anything Survivor related, so my algorithm is not caught on to the fact that I watch Survivor.
Sure.
Like, I don't get any information. We had one friend that tried to send me something today. They sent it to Steven and I, and I literally didn't, it was an Instagram message, and I saw that it was from her with you and I, and so I didn't even open the message until you responded.
I appreciate your sense on that one, because I was like, Jared, don't watch the video. Jared, don't watch the video. Yeah. I appreciate that someone sent the video, but maybe just send it to me. It's truly okay. Anything Survivor related, I'm very weary sending to Jared.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I don't want the algorithm to catch on.
No. And our last email from Tyler. Tyler says, the title of this email, Episode 2, Voting Confessionals. Here we have some of the voting confessionals against Candace, since Jared seemed curious about them. Tyson, Jerry, and Brendan were all basically, it's your time, or I like you, but it's what the tribe as a whole decided.
Okay.
Some confessionals that stuck out were Aaron, I like you, but I don't trust you.
Huh.
Sierra, you played a great physical game, but nobody wants a snake in the grass.
Okay.
Debbie, Candace, you talk too much about each tribe member every day. It was somebody different every single day that you were gunning for. It got you in the end. Good luck.
Hmm.
And Coach, I've got a French girl on my team that says if you play with Coach Wade, you lose. You shouldn't have tried to go head-to-head with me, babe.
Oh, God.
You're going on the bottom of a social compatibility, and it's going to make our tribe better. You're the poison apple. Sorry.
It is funny that directly after that, they proceed to lose 4 challenges in a row.
Oops.
Or I guess 3 in a row, because they had lost that previous one. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Looking forward to next week. Thank you, Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler.
Yeah. I have a note on that that we'll talk about in this episode. Via Coach and the poison apple and...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we might have the same note. Yeah, I know, I think it was Connor said to give him more of a shot. I hate him. I can't. I cannot stand people that are that far up their own ass. And, like, everything that Coach says is talking about how he is great and amazing or how someone else is a problem. Those are the only two topics of conversation for Coach.
He is certainly a strong personality, isn't he?
Yes. Now, I will say he is entertaining to watch for now. He is getting a lot of screen time, mm-hmm. a la Terry from Panama. Now, mm-hmm. Terry was like a hero and was actually like...
Are you saying Coach isn't a hero?
I'm saying Coach ain't a hero. Yeah. And Terry was a problem and sometimes problematic, but I didn't hate him as a person as much as I seem to hate Coach as a person.
I don't know that that's true. You kind of hated Terry pretty hard. That's
true. It might be just because we're 6 seasons removed.
All right. Bumper.
All right. So this episode came out on March 5th of 2009. Pretty quiet week between episodes again. The only thing I pulled was the International Criminal Court issues an arrest warrant for Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir for war crimes and crimes against humanity in Darfur, becoming the first sitting head of state to be indicted. So the problem, you know, that's not something necessarily people are going to remember, but it is interesting. And the problem with international law is it really is more like international suggestions. There's no enforcement mechanisms.
You're right. ICC is a very toothless organization.
As is the UN, as is like any... internationally governing body, because they're only as powerful as the companies that are the countries that give them power anyway.
Very few countries are going to be like, offer up our own citizen for you to try them.
Yeah. So it's just really rich countries that are holding poor countries accountable most of the time. It's very complicated.
We're just waiting till we get to the Futurama world government.
Yes, and then we can have the disembodied head of Richard Nixon run that. It's a good bit in Futurama. Anyway, some things that aired on Broadway in 2009, Stephen.
Oh, you're bringing it back.
I'm bringing it back. I did not forget. 9 to 5.
What a way to make a living.
Revival, I assume.
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Because it was a movie before it was a musical.
Oh, that's true. Okay. A Little Night Music. Mm-hmm. Just to pull out some interest. Like, a lot of these are things people haven't heard of. Blythe Spirit, I have heard of. I actually really like that
I've
play.
Seen Blythe Spirit.
The biggest one being, I mean, Hair is back and, like, Guys and Dolls and whatever, but, like, who cares? Next to Normal.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Next to Normal came out in April of 2009.
Pulitzer Prize winning Next to Normal.
It's an amazing show. Rock of Ages also came out in April of 2009.
Unfortunate coincidence. 2 rock shows.
Yeah.
Very different rock shows.
Very different. One of them, I mean, Rock of Ages is a review, right?
Yeah.
Okay. For those of you that aren't like big musical people, review.
Jukebox.
Or Jukebox, yes, sorry. A jukebox musical just means that it's like songs that were already published put into a story rather than like original songs. Anyway.
Hella good show, though.
I don't know it.
It's all good rock music.
That's fair.
I won't give you the homework to go listen to that soundtrack.
I might. I probably should.
Do it at a point.
I'm going to go through the top 5 movies, but the number 6 one is Jonas Brothers, the 3D concert, which is just ridiculous. But anyway, the top 5 movies, Confessions of a Shopaholic, we're going to talk about number 4. Number 3, Taken. Medea Goes to Jail, and then Slumdog Millionaire. But number 4 in our topic of the episode, or this section in the episode, He's Just Not That Into You.
Oh.
Steven, are you familiar with He's Just Not That Into You?
I know the title, but I don't know. This isn't the one that's a Shakespeare analog.
I don't believe so, but I'm not familiar with it at all.
I think that's 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, yes. That one definitely is.
Yeah. Okay. No, I don't know this one.
Yeah, this one has a great title. Baltimore-based friends and lovers, all in their 20s and 30s, try to navigate their way through the complexities of modern relationships. Beth, Jennifer Aniston, wants commitment from Neil, Ben Affleck, who sees nothing wrong with the status quo. Gigi, Jennifer Goodwin, is tired of waiting by the phone, while Mary, Drew Barrymore, has a slew of supportive male friends, none of whom are straight. Meanwhile, Janine has trust issues with her husband, who can't trust himself around Anna. What do you think this is rated on Rotten Tomatoes, Steven? That's maybe the worst description of a movie I've ever read.
It's a terrible description, but you kept listing names, and I'm like, these are all good actors, so wait, what's going on here? I'm going to go with a critic score of 42, an audience score of 57.
Holy shit. You are directly on the critic 42.
Hell yeah!
And the critic, you're only two off, 59. Whoa. Like, yeah, are you sure you haven't
Wait, seen hold this on. Movie? Say that one more time.
59.
Was the which one?
The audience.
Oh, okay.
You were only two off.
Hell yeah. Okay.
Wow.
You said critic before, so I was like, wait, did I actually do well?
Oh, yeah, you did. The critic's consensus being, despite the best efforts of a talented cast, he's just not that into you, devotes too little time to each of its protagonists, thus reducing them to stereotypes.
I think that's our like my most on it I've ever been.
Yeah, you're really getting a feel for it.
Oh, feels good, man.
You're going to be able to guess the Rotten Tomatoes scores of movies before they come out after we're done with this.
The Mario Brothers movie too. It's our first perfect.
You're going to be looking at like, when does the movie come out in the year? And like all of this other ancillary shit to be like, that's going to be a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I feed it through the Steven Brain algorithm. 69. Nice. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Then let's get into the episode. Episode 4, The Strongest Man Alive.
Okay. Not really the... I don't know. It's a fine episode title, I guess. It's just like, that's the reward challenge. It wasn't even the deciding thing of the challenge, let alone the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a weak episode? Comparatively.
That's tough to say, because it moved plot along.
Yeah.
But it... I don't know. It's... Compare this to, like, a weak episode from a different season.
Oh, yes.
It's night and day.
Yes. It is... This is the least effective episode of the four we've seen so far. But it's still better than most seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like, oh, yeah, nothing flashy or exciting happened. The vote was kind of obvious, and the challenges were okay.
I think the most interesting thing here was the things that didn't go right. Like the Exile Island shenanigans.
Yes, but they still went...
But they still brought it back around.
Yeah, they still ended up going right. Like, they took a detour, but it didn't go badly. Like, this would have been a more interesting, at least a more, like, dramatic episode if Sierra just takes someone fucking random. And then this episode is batshit insane, probably. But... And it just like the things that were supposed to happen kind of happened, and that was it.
Sometimes you need those.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't want drama, or at least forced drama, in every episode. It's just, I noticed it with the title of the episode, because like the strongest man alive is like talking about the reward challenge of holding all the bags up. He didn't even break the record. He tied it.
He tied the record.
So it's like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. In my brain, I was like, do I want to go on a tangent about 48 right now? I don't feel like I do.
You're bringing it up, so I feel like you do.
I kind of want to.
Do it. The floor is yours.
It's semi-related to what we're saying here, in that every season can't be the most interesting thing ever.
No.
Like, a lot of people complained about 48 as people didn't make moves when they had the opportunity.
Mm.
People... were too trusting. People were too loyal. And you need some of those before... otherwise, everything is just batshit chaos. Like, you need people who are willing to die on a hill of, no, I'm going to be the most loyal human of all time to make Survivor interesting. Otherwise, you're always just waiting for the next blindside. You're always waiting for... These people can't look... They can't go about their day without looking behind their backs.
Eventually, if you are only subverting expectations, those are the expectations.
Correct. And that's why people were so upset with how straightforward the season felt.
I think that's kind of why Gabon ended up sitting where it does for me, because, like, is it a strategic season? No. Is it something different, interesting, and they just kind of, like, let them be themselves? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. I haven't seen 48, obviously. Yeah. But... Yeah, that sounds kind of like what you're saying, too.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And even
Like, people were begging and begging for things to go a certain way, and they kind of got their way, but some people still weren't happy with it.
Well, so, in an online community, especially one that's as long tenured as Survivor, people aren't going to fucking agree.
That's fair. I think this is the... me having a podcast and me being able to say this out to an audience of people who are mm-hmm. watching this, I don't know. I have a hard time with this hive mind of like, oh, other people think it's bad. I must too think it's bad.
So that is something I was actually thinking about while we were watching this episode was, mm-hmm. you know, when we catch up in 2031 or what the fuck ever, I probably still won't be in like subscribed to the subreddit or like, I'll probably still avoid Survivor media because I don't want to fall into an echo chamber.
That's fair.
Like, I'd rather just watch it with my own eyes, yeah. you know?
I don't know. I just, I feel like I have now this media literacy of I must, not contrarian, but I take everything with a grain of salt with what people are saying online because I don't know their context. I don't know what their purpose or their goal is for some of these posts.
Yeah, the internet was a mistake. I love the internet, and it was a mistake.
Thanks, the internet. Thanks, random person in Hong Kong that is, like, absolutely downing our podcast.
No, I figured out what that was. Are we going to leave this in? I think somebody in Hong Kong downloaded our entire because it was, like, exactly the amount of downloads as our episodes that we have.
Okay.
I think they just downloaded it all in one go.
Why?
Either because they wanted it on their device instead of streaming it, or were being fed into the AI. One or the other.
Well, maybe the internet was a mistake. All right, anyway, we start the episode, and Coach says, "Ugh, it's a dark, sultry?
Yeah.
Sulky night.
Hey, bud, I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Yeah, hold on, I gotta...
Actually, you know what? Coach does just kind of seem always at like a low hum of horny, so he might actually be using that word correctly.
Well, okay, hold on. There are multiple definitions of sultry. One, very humid and hot.
Okay.
Hot, torrid, expressing sexual desires, number three.
But that's the thing, is like, that's the common definition of it. So even if you know the other ones, you should know that other people use it to mean the other thing more often.
Nah, I'm just gonna go with my brain canon. He's feeling sexy today.
They got rid of Jerry, and for some reason that did it for him.
But then he goes off on Aaron, that Aaron is the cancer of our tribe.
The second time he said that.
Yes, this is where I was talking about earlier with, are you just going to be singling out the cancers of your tribe for the rest of the season?
Yes. Anybody that doesn't agree with Coach is a cancer. And he will go after them. And, like, I don't want to make accusations of the man. I don't know him.
I do. But
that pattern of behavior mixed with the shit he said about, like, coaching young girls and it being manipulation is a horrible, like, again, I don't know his life, horrible look, horrible optics. Yeah.
I do agree with what I believe it was Connor said, and that he's playing it up, but there's a basis of truth in there.
Yeah, you're right. He probably is playing it up, but I don't like it. So why are you playing it up? Is this the reaction you wanted? I mean, I guess we are talking about
you. We're talking about it.
16 years later, but...
Ugh. It was effective.
Sure.
And they also do Aaron real dirty here, because they show her picking her nose in the middle of the night, and you're like, is that really the only shot you had of her?
In the same episode that she talks about going through a really bad breakup and having this emotional moment, they show her picking her nose.
Yeah. Well, it's Coach dunking on her, and then it cuts to her picking her nose, and I'm like, oh, man.
Okay.
All right, well, so be it.
I must have missed that. I was probably writing something down. Jesus.
In the morning, we talk about the leader conversation, because Brendan says, you know what? Hey, I'm cool electing a leader. Let's make it someone who is preferably not me. That wasn't what he said, but it was the subtext very clearly. Let's make it Tyson. Let's make it Coach. I don't care.
He doesn't say, like, I don't want to do it. He's like, if that's what you guys want, fine. Or if, like, Tyson or Coach want to do it, that's also fine. Which I actually, I'm going to push back on you a little bit. I don't think that was him saying, please don't let it be me. I think it was him just saying, I don't want drama around it.
Yeah, I'm not here to assume the responsibility. I'm not going to take it for myself. I am going to, if you bestow it upon me, so be it.
Yeah, if this is the role that you want me to fill, I will do it. But also, I don't want to die on this hill. Please, dear God.
Mm-hmm. And Tyson's like, you know what? I don't really care who the leader is. I don't give two shits. Coach, on the other hand, you know what? Yeah, Brendan is the leader. Unless for some reason he gets voted off, in which case I would assume the leader, of course.
Yeah, if he goes home tomorrow, if he gets voted out tomorrow,
yeah,
then like, that's fine. Holy red flag, Batman. Holy shit.
Yeah, if you're Brendan, are you a little concerned here?
If you're Brendan, you start like getting people, you know, start pulling people aside and be like, we got to get rid of Coach.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this guy.
He just openly threatened me because there's like, I know what Coach is trying to say, or like what he could hide behind he's trying to say, which is like, oh, if Brendan's not here, I'll do it. But there are other reasons why Brendan might not be here. When Brendan's at Exile, which he's been at several times, or if we have a tribe swap, like there are other reasons than voting him out. And that just seems like a threat.
And to us, he tells us that, you know what, if Brendan gets voted off, we'd be better off. I'm the only person experienced in the outdoors.
Is that verifiable?
Who knows?
Does he just make that up?
Probably not. I look stronger than Brennan.
No, you don't.
I love that. The eye test. You know what? Just like on vibes alone, I'm definitely stronger than him.
Which is why Coach did the strength-based reward challenge that happens in 5 minutes and not Brendan, right?
Oop.
And why Coach tied the record and not Brendan, right?
Oop.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, it's this fucking showboating that isn't true.
Yeah. In all fairness, I don't know that I would qualify Brendan as tying the record. He did not really sustain
it for long enough for me to be like,
yeah, you tied it.
Okay, fair enough. But when you...
He did do 200 pounds.
When you failed at the same weight that Rupert did, I don't think Coach is the same, like, strength. I'm sorry.
Anyway, we flip over to Jellipal for a little bit. We get a full-on foot shot.
Yeah, it's at least one a season of the close-up of the gross feet. And, like, can we get Dan Schneider out of the fucking editing room of Survivor, please?
I mean, he is working for Nickelodeon at this time, and Nickelodeon is owned by Paramount, which is the parent company of CBS.
Holy shit. Now, that's probably too many levels removed, but why... why do we do these foot shots?
People like feet.
I don't like feet. Or does someone in a decision-making capacity or editing capacity like feet?
See, there has to be a chain of command here because there is a cameraman who is choosing to film feet and also an editor who is choosing to put in feet and also a producer who is watching this and being like, yeah, that makes sense to me. Put in the feet.
This is the biggest Survivor conspiracy I can think of.
Who's the feet people?
It's not the whether there was a different bottle in Cook Islands. It's not, you know, them stacking votes or anything like that. It's where are the feet, guys, and how do we get them out?
See, that's sexist, Jared. There could be feet ladies.
There could be.
I doubt it.
I think the odds are low in terms of sex pestness.
That's a good point.
Anyway. This is really just a bit, but yeah. It is weird that it comes up every season.
But it's weird that it's happened twice.
It's weird that it's happened 18 times.
So we're waking up, and this day is just sleep and boredom. And Spencer points out that Taj is all worn out, being in Exile all the time. And we're all kind of worried about her because, man, it's really taking a toll on her body. Meanwhile, she's celebrating every time she's going to Exile and she's getting clues. She wraps in Steven Fishbach in this scenario, bringing him in on the biggest upset in Survivor history. She says, do you want to be part of the biggest upset in Survivor history?
And he's like, yeah, obviously.
I do. To the point where he's like, I may have just stumbled ass backwards into a great alliance.
And to be fair, I don't think this plan is going to work from what we've seen on the next time on.
Mm.
Like, it seems like Tyson sniffed something out and Taj might be setting herself on fire. Even with the vote at the end of this episode, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
But if they had pulled it off, or if they do pull it off, it would be, like, maybe the greatest alliance in Survivor history tied with the Black Widow Brigade. Like, in terms of, like, ingenuity, story, like, cleverness. Like, it's just, it would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, to plan that early in the season and to have the through line would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we flip then over to Tambira, and Brennan hasn't had the opportunity to tell Sierra about this four-way alliance that now Taj has roped in Steven and told him exactly what happens if we win and we get to pick someone.
Brendan and Taj, you both have so much time. We have heard so many people talk on Survivor about how much time you have.
Uh-huh.
You've had at least a full day, Brendan. Go get water with Sierra. I guess there's no well. Go fishing with Sierra. You don't have any fishing gear. God damn it.
Do something.
Go dig out the fucking fire pit. I don't know, man. And then Taj, you're not escaping this rant either. Later, you say you knew where the idol was. Like, oh, I figured it was part of Tree Mail. Then go get it. Then go get it. And then at the end of this episode, before they go to tribal, she goes, oh, I'll have to go grab that later. Go get it. Do not risk. The odds of somebody else finding it are low.
Right.
But they are not zero. Just go get it. It's in camp. It's at Tree Mail. It's not in the fucking middle of nowhere. It's not on Exile. You know where it is. Grab the fucking piece of jewelry.
So you're right. But I do want to point out that every move is being watched. In that if you just pick up with someone and say, hey, can we go on a walk together? All of the remaining five people in your tribe are like, that's fishy.
But you have chores, right? And also, the two of them have done stuff together before. They were the ones digging out the fire pit together.
Yeah.
I guess I started this rant at Brendan, and I guess I can see how that happens depending on how their day went. Like, how early they got up, chores to be done, all of that. I'm more mad at Tosh.
For not going to get the idol?
Yes.
I think it's more of a, like, she's rewriting history and saying, oh yeah, that's exactly where I thought it would be.
Fair, but even still, she doesn't get it before this tribal.
Correct. Well, assumedly.
She said she was going to go get it later.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, rant over.
Reward challenge. We have three members, three members of each tribe, all have a pole. Has to be two men and one woman. And we are adding weights at regular intervals, 20 pounds per round.
We've seen this before.
We've seen this challenge before. It was a lot more fun with water.
Yeah.
But it makes it very difficult to put weights on when you're above water.
Correct. Yeah. Remember when Redacted broke the pole?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
I don't know that he broke the pole.
The weight on it broke
it.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Those were definitely not bamboo poles that were holding up these weights.
They
anymore.
Learned that lesson.
They did. I was trying to figure out if they were like full on, like weightlifting bars that they just decorated.
Oh, to look like wood?
Uh-huh.
Honestly, probably.
But then they'd be 45 pounds.
Mm. Well, the bar has to have some weight, right? Because it otherwise it's not structurally sound enough to hold the bag. So, yeah, I wonder how much weight they actually had.
I don't know.
Hmm. Interesting.
No idea. Anyway.
Because if that was a 45-pound bar, that means Rupert and then at the end of this, JT, were up at, like, 265.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Which would be impressive.
Yeah.
I don't know what my max was for squatting at one point. I was at least, I want to say it was at least 250.
I rep, what do I do right now? I don't squat nearly enough. I think I rep like 110, but that's just like,
yeah,
that's doing 25 sets of, or three sets of 25.
25 I haven't done squats. Max.
Yeah.
Damn.
Is that why my legs hurt really, really bad for like 3 days after I do it?
No, it's just, it's a different, like, there are different ways to do weight exercises.
Yeah, I said three sets of 25.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a lot. I think, like, when I was consistently lifting weights in high school, I was doing, like, sets of 8, 5, 2.
Oh. I've never actually...
At higher weights.
I didn't do a lot of weight training in high school with wrestling. It was mostly, like, endurance training.
Mm-hmm. And well, then you also don't want to bulk for wrestling.
Well, yes and no. But I also... So I kind of just taught myself. I should probably look stuff up.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
It's the difference between, like, having strong / explosive muscles versus having, like, toned strong muscles.
Mm.
Okay. Just different exercises do different things.
Interesting.
I am not the person who should be talking about this.
Sure.
Because I am not a physical fitness expert.
Sure. Yeah.
Actually, in reality, you should talk to my brother.
Okay.
Who is, like, a collegiate athlete / coach /
Let's get Brady on the pod.
Yeah, we're saving him.
Okay.
We're saving him for Blood versus Water.
Oh, that's actually really fun.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Okay. Anyway. the winner of this challenge wins a camp raid. They get to steal two items from the other tribe, and they also get to pick one person to send to exile, who then picks one person to also come with them.
This feels a little bit like they were trying to give Timbir a bit of a boost, huh? Not that, like, they
have less to lose.
That's the thing of it, right? Yeah, they could go in and kind of even the playing field or just lose a little of something.
But also the thing being, when you have less to lose, you have less things, and anything taken away from you is like a lifeline.
Yeah, that's true.
So our three weightlifters here, for Timbira, Debbie, Tyson, and Brennan, for Jalapau, it is JT, Joe, and Taj.
It is weird whenever they do a challenge. Like, this only requires four people.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like, yep, you just, even the tribe with more people, you're sitting people out. Like, it is odd.
This one didn't make sense to me, because you could just use three people to put the weight on.
Yeah.
You could rotate that out.
Oh, well.
Damn, Jared. Sorry, we've talked about this throughout the episode, but the Timberwolves just won 143 to 101.
That destroys a team's spirits.
They won by 42 points.
That's crazy.
I don't think I've seen an NBA game like that, or at least a playoff game like that in a while.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Brutal. Speaking of nuts, Brennan lifts 200 pounds, almost gets that 220. Rupert, as we stated before, got up to 220. And JT also gets up to 220. And he holds on for much longer, but still 220 is his max. But then it's the two other guys that really got me. Because Tyson drops at 140. Joe, I think, was more than that, but he still, like, out of nowhere drops.
Yeah, Joe wasn't that much. He couldn't have been that much higher than that, though, because...
No.
Taj and Sandy had equal weight.
Uh-huh.
So I think maybe he was only at, like, that'd be, like, 160?
That's what I'm thinking.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it just left us with the ladies. Debbie, who is a very... like a smaller, older lady.
Yeah, but we have not
Taj.
So I remember from, like, her bio or whatever that Debbie is like a triathlete something like that.
Debbie's a badass.
She's a badass.
But, like, when you look over at Taj and you're like, Taj is
a brick shit house.
Taj has the better frame for lifting weights specifically. Yeah. If I'm choosing someone to who's going to win a triathlon, I'd pick Debbie, hands down.
Well, actually, speaking of that, when they're deciding who to sit out, Jalapeno, that is, they sit out Taj because he says, I can't run.
For the immunity challenge.
Yes. Yeah. The next challenge.
Yeah.
And just mentioning that, I wonder why she couldn't run. Is it wardrobe?
No, I think it's what we did say at the start of the episode, where she is worn down from going to exile.
Oh, that's right. It's okay. Cool. Like, sorry.
It's a physical exhaustion.
That was jumping ahead, but yeah, it's a lack of water.
She's
that's
not
right.
sleeping in any shelter.
She's dehydrated.
Not, yeah. It'd be a bad move to put her in a running position.
The only reason I brought up now is because I was wondering if she had, like, hurt herself or something.
Sure.
But that makes more sense. Okay.
I did notice, and I'm jumping ahead, but the minute that the two exile people get back from exile, they immediately are handed water.
Yeah.
Like, and gulp it down.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe we should be giving these people water.
Yeah.
Probably.
Especially when they're not choosing to be at Exile.
Yeah.
Anyway, Debbie and Taj battled out for a little bit. Debbie just kind of slips and then kind of goes down crying. And Taj comes over and gives her a hug about how well she did. And
yeah, it looks it was great. Less like Debbie had a problem. And maybe this is what happened to Tyson and Joe, too. A problem with the weight, and it like more like it slid off her back because she was sweating so much.
Could be. Honestly, those bars are not comfortable to hold on for a long time. Like, even the guys with tons and tons of weight, they had like t-shirts and things between them and the bar.
Yeah.
Ouchies. And this is the point where Jared said, "Who's that blonde girl?"
And Stephen went, "That's Cindy. She's been Sydney.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Oh, it's back again.
No. Woo! No.
Oh, that's good. That's real good. Anyway, we get a full deep dive on.
My point was that I went, no,
it's setting you up to like slam that home.
But, I was dissociating and regretting my decisions. No, my point was that I was like, no, that isn't. That's not a contestant. They brought her in for this episode only because I've never seen that woman before in my life.
And then we get like a full deep dive on who she is and why she may or may not go home. Good times. So we flip over to Timbira and they're like, okay, well, how do we convince them to not take all of our beans? Let's do what we can. And then we have awkward intros as JT and who's the other one? Joe, I think.
I think so, but they're the same person.
They come and they're like, hi, guys. Hi, we're here to steal your stuff.
I think it was Joe that has a funny line of like, can we make you a cocktail?
No. Because Joe, I think it was someone who was the quote unquote hosts.
Yes.
So it wouldn't have been Joe.
Oh, duh. I guess it was Brendan then. No, he's an exile. Fuck, who was that?
Might have been Tyson.
Might have been.
He's the snarky man. He likes throwing jokes.
Yeah, it was a very quick shot, so I didn't get who it was.
It's totally awkward. These intros and like everyone's trying to be cordial despite the fact that everyone knows what this is.
Yeah.
And Tyson's like, you know what? They might be with us someday, so we got to be nice to them. But really, I just want to punch these guys in the head.
Is Tyson a sociopath? Between all of the other comments, this, and then there's something else he says this episode that I'm just like, oh, he's like, I want to see a big dramatic breakdown at Tribal. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So Joe and JT end up deciding to take the larger sack of their beans, and it looked like one water can. They didn't like highlight that specifically, but that's what it looked like.
Yeah, no, I think it said water on the side.
Oh, did it? Right.
They picked it up. It didn't seem like there was any water in there. So it's like, okay.
Could be a useful tool.
I guess like you can boil a lot of water all at once rather than needing to boil it every time you drink.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
That is nice. Yeah, but this was all strategy. And they could have taken both bags of beans, but JT says, you know what? If we end up like through a tribe switch or whatever over there and we have screwed ourselves over by taking all the beans, that doesn't really help us.
That's smart.
Yeah,
I think that's like really thinking ahead and using the previous history of the show, because do you want to be fucked over personally if you guys change tribes or change tribe locations tomorrow?
Yeah. Sandy, when these boys come with their new haul, is a little upset that they didn't take both bags of beans, and they're farting beans, as Sandy says.
Thanks, Sandy.
Thanks, Sandy. This is where... Now, you're confusing my brain. This is where Sydney is like, man, Sandy is so annoying. She repeats things like three times over.
She sure does.
She sure does. And Sandy then rebuttals and is like, man, Sydney just is something. She's using everything to enchant the boys. She's working them hard, but those boys see through it. They're more than... I don't think I wrote this down. It says more than a package.
Oh, she says, but they still like the package.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually kind of interesting because it's... A lot of times you get this kind of mentality from somebody on the that's not involved with this, and they'll be like, either like, oh, she's manipulating them and they're idiots and they're falling for it, or she's trying to manipulate them and they're not falling for it and they don't like her. And Sandy actually takes kind of like a middle road that I think is the most honest in most of these situations, which is, yeah, they know exactly what she's doing, but also they like what she's doing.
Yeah.
So, like, it kind of works out for both of them. This is also, wow, really early in the season, but we got our weird confessional location out of the way, which is Sandy sitting in a bog.
Yeah. I can't tell if she's in, like, a small offshoot of the river or what, but it's her in water, but there's, like, there's trees or something behind her.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
It's, like, a weird, like, part of the brook.
Yeah. And she ties this all together with a, I can't outwit her, her being Sydney,
yeah,
with the body, but I'll outwit her with the brain.
What do you mean outwit with your body?
I'm not even, I don't know.
I want the sex kitten to tell me.
And then we flip over to Exile, where Taj has to spell out this alliance that Sierra didn't know she was a part
that
of.
That Fishbok. No, wait, no, it was, Jesus Christ, it was Brendan. I'm so bad with names today, I'm sorry.
That's fine. We're at the tail end of our two-episode stint. It's been a day.
It's been a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that all worked out surprisingly well.
It did.
Sierra, very excited, as she should be. She now has a ton of power in this game, being in two, it seems like, two separate alliances that... You know, she can kind of choose which one's most beneficial for her at any given time. Oh, also, we see the third clue, which just basically tells you, hey, it's in Tremail.
It is very spelled out. Like, it is, hey, here you go. Go get it.
Clue two went from, like, seeming like I couldn't really connect those dots myself to, hey, it's in Tremail. And also, like, it's been a while since we've seen clues that point right to an idol rather than clues that point to clues. Like, Gabon, Micronesia, China. Well, no, China was direct to idol. But the last two were the clues you got from being on Exile were like, okay, now you go to this place and there's a clue. And now you go to this place and there's a clue.
But those are...
Those are on Exile.
On Exile.
Yeah, that is the difference, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So yeah, Sierra hears this, is like, hey, I just got goosebumps. Oh yeah. It's all coming together.
I kind of want them to do the China idols again. That was so cool.
That's pretty cool.
Just putting it in the most obvious fucking spot.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
I started at the bottom of the food chain, and I worked my way to the middle, but now I'm at the top, baby.
Hell yeah, Sierra.
Things are looking good for Sierra.
I love her. She's the best.
All right. Then we flip over to Timbira, and you know what today? Just this is our beach episode.
Today is racism day.
Okay, whoa.
As Tyson immediately comes in and is doing an Oonga Boonga over, but not caveman much. Because I do Oonga Boonga for, like, caveman noise. His is like, well, at first he starts out funny with the loincloth stuff, and then he starts doing, like, a dance, and I'm like, okay.
I don't know where that line is. You Oonga Boonga, and I'm like, it still gives me the crawlies up the skin, and I'm like, I see the difference because I'm visualizing what he is doing, but I'm like, I don't know where that line is.
The specific phrase Oonga Boonga to me brings up the caveman SpongeBob episode, but if you're making other words and noises, it also depends on, like, the context, right? Sure. Like, I'm not wearing a loincloth and dancing around while I'm doing it.
No, and full disclosure, like, the first time you said it on air, I was like, Jared, can you say that? Are you... this is...
I'd explain to you.
You explain it, and I'm like, you know what? Fine, you're gonna own this.
Yeah, but they have a fun little day, and we do a little bit of racism, and then we have a fun little day.
Yeah, it's the beach episode. Except for Aaron. Aaron struggles to connect with people. She says she had a really bad breakup, and she's really afraid that this is gonna come up in every single conversation. That's a level of anxiety that I can't fathom.
Well, I guess I can, I think I understand what she's trying to get at. That is anxiety, but is also real, which is the way you connect with people, especially in Survivor, is like you start talking about your lives.
Yeah,
and
you
and
ask
stuff.
Questions.
Right. And so if, like, there are so many different things in her that people could ask her that would lead to this breakup. And I don't know any of the details of the breakup, obviously, but, like, could it be asking her about, like, where she lives, like, mm-hmm. currently, or like, you know, oh, maybe she moved cities because of this breakup, or she changed jobs, or like something like that, that then activates something in her that makes her break down a little bit. And she doesn't want to break down in front of people because it's a sign of weakness. And on Survivor, I don't necessarily disagree. Like, I wouldn't view somebody that way of like, oh, you're having big emotions about something from before you got on the show. Okay, that doesn't bother me.
Somebody might.
But it might bother somebody.
Right.
And it might be used against you. And especially with Coach gunning for her, she cannot give people this ammunition.
That's fair.
But also, you have to connect with people. So she's in a really bad spot.
Or like Tyson, who says, you know what? I'm excited to vote her out because it'd be really fun to watch her freak out when she's voted off.
It does feel a little mean to put that right afterwards. Obviously, Tyson doesn't know any of this.
No.
But it makes Tyson look like a giant fucking asshole.
Tyson doesn't need your help looking like a giant asshole. Excuse you.
Do you not like Tyson, Steven?
I do like Tyson. But Tyson has... Tyson is a very specific personality.
Okay.
He is actively antagonistic.
Interesting. Okay. Is he like controversial, like love him or hate him kind of person?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay.
I'd say he's much more loved than probably hated.
Okay. Gotcha.
It, as far as I can tell.
Okay.
Yeah. So, immunity challenge. This challenge, we have a little weaving course. You have to race out. You have to get a puzzle piece and then take the winding path with your puzzle piece back. And then once you have all those pieces, you have to solve a rotating puzzle where you can move the pieces around but also rotate them three ways. So a lot of pieces there. And really, there's not a lot of highlight here because it's just running and grabbing a puzzle piece.
Yeah. This is, again, one of those that looks way more fun to play than to talk about or watch.
Yeah. I don't remember if I said it last episode. Steven Fishbach is an awkward runner.
Yeah, he is.
But, like, what do I expect? He's
a nerd.
He's a nerd from New York.
Yeah. The course is really beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, the zoomed out shot that we get a couple of times is so pretty.
The crisscrossing, though, made me think they really wanted a collision. And they did not get a collision.
I don't think they wanted a collision. I think they wanted somebody to get in the way, at least. Of, like, making somebody else slow down.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe they wanted a collision. Yeah. But it just seems like the kind of thing that, like, you see them coming. You're probably going to... One of you is going to lose the game of chicken, you know? I think it was more for aesthetics than anything else.
Okay.
It looks cooler than a straight line.
Yeah. Other highlights... Sydney struggles with her knots. She kind of loses some ground. And Debbie's a beast.
Debbie is a beast.
Debbie's just a straight-up beast.
Fishbach copies their homework. It's not enough, but looks over and it's like, oh, shit, yeah, switch this around.
Now, I didn't write down notes fast enough. Was Sandy correct? Because she said something to Fishbach, and I thought she was correct.
And then Fishbach said no.
Waves her off.
Honestly, it was unclear, because, like, the answer, what she said was so, like, could have been the right thing. She said all the right words. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she had the right order or if the pieces were in the right order.
I felt like she was saying specifically the bottom word, like what that was, and that was waved off. And I was like, ooh.
She definitely should have been taken more seriously.
Yes.
Because if she wasn't right, she was on the right track.
She was real close. Yep. And... essentially, the Timbira tribe gets it all together. They work well. There's a lot of whispering around this because you don't want to key in the other tribe of what's going on here. And escape the vote. Timbira wins immunity.
Good for them.
Good for them. And JT says, hey, we've become one tribe. Nobody wants to go home. Nobody wants to send somebody home. But we gotta.
Yeah.
So.
And I will say that the challenges have all been close. For the most part.
Yeah.
I guess the corn and water one wasn't that close. But, like, this challenge, even though Jalapeno lost, they were still very close.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of reminds me a little bit of Palau, where, like, in this case it is more back and forth. But, like, oh, yeah, the one tribe dominated. But actually a lot of those challenges were, like, right down to the wire. Mm-hmm.
Feels more Guatemala than...
Well, that's fair.
Yeah. A lot of back and forth in Guatemala.
Yeah.
Although Guatemala had some blowouts in those challenges.
Yeah, I guess what I mean is that, yeah, there's very few blowouts so far.
Yeah. That's why I had to
say
that. I'm just thinking of the cart challenge as we wheel our way down.
Now I'm just thinking of that video of like the never-ending instructions.
Yes.
Green down the cart.
Every day is a happy day when we think about the never-ending challenge.
Oh, God, that's the best.
Anyway, back at Jalapao, it's the curse of the beans.
Well, hilarious. First, we get this beautiful shot in the transition of, like, a mountain lion, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, eyeing a gazelle. Like, very, I mean, probably two separate shots, but, like, right up in a mountain lion's face. And, like, chef's kiss. Beautiful shot.
Good job, Survivor.
Love their nature shots.
Joe says, you know, I'm actually kind of glad. And Sydney says that somebody's going. That someone in particular is going. And that someone rhymes with Andy.
I guess technically Sandy and Andy rhyme.
Yeah.
Technically.
They do. Taj and a few other people in the water are like, you know what? But Sandy did better than Sydney in that challenge.
And Sandy is actually a bit of a challenge beast. She's just like a fucking methed up monkey out there.
To the point where JT's like, you know what? I'm pretty undecided. I don't know what to do here. Well, everyone just kind of goes off in different directions and talks for a little bit. The flag here is real funny when we're sitting in the shelter. Hey, what kind of game, what part of the game do you like, says Fishbach. And Fishbach responds, you know, I like getting... You know,
who responds?
Well, okay, hold on, sorry. I did this wrong. What part of the game do you like, asks Sydney. And Fishbach says, you know, I like getting to know people, like all these people that I wouldn't get the chance to in my normal life. And, well, back to you, Sydney. What do you like? Oh, the sneakiness. I don't get to be sneaky at home.
Holy red flags, Batman.
Yeah, that's a problem. Maybe don't say that to the people who you're trying to work with.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, you're being sneaky. Well, that's good to know. And she's like, oh, like, you guys aren't. And she's right, but you don't say it out loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like being at a dinner party and talking about shitting your pants.
What, you don't shit your pants at dinner parties?
It.
We've established this in the last episode.
Exactly, yeah. That was just a chill where we're all just like drinking and shooting the shit. You're like a fancy dinner party.
You're not supposed to shoot the shit. We've established this.
Yeah, okay. You guys get it. I'm not finishing the analogy. You get it.
It's all poop related.
It's all poop related. It's poop all the way down.
Okay, anyway. Tribal Council.
Wait, now I'm remembering the latest Game Changer episode. Do you shit in the diaper?
I don't know.
Ugh. If you haven't seen the latest Game Changer episode, well, I guess no one would come out by the time this episode airs. Basically, they had comedians doing crowd work up there, and one of them, we're talking to an audience member that is in the adult diaper, like, society or whatever, and I think it was Josh Johnson just, like, asking them questions about, like, oh, about it. And then one of the other comedians interrupts after it's going on for a few minutes and's like, do you shit in the diaper? I have to know. We were all thinking it.
I don't like it.
Dropout's so good.
Yes, Dropout is good.
Anyway, Tribal.
The whole thought of adults in diapers, I don't that's enjoy that.
Not for me.
No. Physically gives me the shakes. I need to move on.
Uh-huh.
Okay, anyway. Sandy starts this with saying, hey, I think I've actually recovered from my first impression. I had a bad first impression. We're all good now. Jeff asks, you know what, Sandy, you're in this, I'm going to be honest, good-looking young crowd.
It's interesting that last episode I was like, this is a really attractive season. And then Jeff brings it up.
Mm-hmm. Sandy says, you know, people might be using the flirting to work this tribe, and not saying anyone in particular, definitely saying that one in particular.
Yeah. Well, and that is the reason Jeff brings it up too, right? Is because Sydney.
Yes.
Oh, God, I thought I was over it. I thought I was past it. I thought I could say these names separately.
It's fine.
Yeah. That's the reason he brings it up, is because the flirting angle that she's been taking that we aren't shown until
she's
this episode.
She's wearing JT's boxers.
Yeah, but they did drop Homegirl off in the Brazilian Highlands in jeans.
Yeah.
I'd also be wearing JT's boxers.
Okay.
I mean, or my own.
It's probably more accurate.
Yeah. Maybe JT's.
Sydney says, you know what? I didn't have shorts. I'm wearing these jeans. Hey, whatever. I needed something. Well, then Fishbach chimes in. Well, she does a lot more flirting. Joe and her flirt a lot more than her and JT. So just wanted that out in the air.
Which, like, oh, so you're not wearing the boxers of the guy you flirt the most with, just the guy you flirt the second most with.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Sydney, I swear, just says a line from Rent. Boys, girls, I can't help it, baby. People just flirt with me.
You're saying that Sydney is Maureen?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's be real. Parv is Maureen.
Yeah. Taj jumps in. Yeah, I mean, Sydney's gorgeous. Of course these guys are gonna flirt with her. Like, it just is part of her game. And Jeff's like, that's okay with you? Yeah, let them flirt. I don't care. They aren't attracted to me. That's fine. That's okay. That's not my game. I'm not here to play that.
Yeah, Jeff drills down on this in one of his rare misses in Tribals, where I'm like, I kind of believed that Taj was okay with it. And I know that you're looking for, like, an audio or like a sound
he's
clip
looking
here.
For some kind of fight. Yeah,
yeah, but I don't know, it's just not, it's not it, man. Just yeah. Move on. She definitely felt some kind of way about it, but I don't think it's for the reasons that you think it is. I think she's just uncomfortable with the conversation.
Sure. And then I don't have anything. Do you have anything before we vote?
No.
Cool. And then we vote, and it is a I think this is right. A 5-1-1 line?
That is right.
Bananas.
Yeah. Hey, what's up with the Joe vote from Taj? Maybe Taj wasn't okay with it. Maybe I was really wrong.
I think, and we'll probably find out more in the next episode, but I think she didn't want to throw Sandy's vote. Like, she didn't want to say Sandy because she clearly was trying to defend her in the water. But she also didn't want to throw a vote on someone who is going, like, it could put
just
danger on them.
Vote.
Yeah. That's okay. My thought is it was a throwaway vote.
Okay.
But there's that. How do you think Sandy does in Future Survivor?
I think Sandy is usually a first boot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't see a world in which Sandy makes it very far in this game. Like, even as a goat, that would be her path forward, right? But Sandy's insane. Like, and Sandy seems kind of hard to live with. Although I will say, to her credit, she's a hard worker and she's good in challenges. But
but is doing a lot of heavy lifting here.
Well, I mean, though, I don't want it to discount too much, because those things are important and they are what kept her in the game up until this point. And had, like, they're the reason her tribe didn't go to tribal up until episode one, but then, you know, missed the next few tribals. Like, she was a key contributor in some of those challenges. But, yeah, it seems like she's hard to live with, and that is only sustainable for so long. And I think on most tribes, that is an easy first boot. I think that the tribes, maybe with a weaker link or something like that, that your face is doing a lot.
I'm sorry, I'm reading a Sandy article. Go on.
Oh, hell yeah. Tribes that can put up with it or choose to, she might stick around a little bit like she did in this season. I don't think she's ever making the merge.
No, I don't think so either. You need a lot of things to go her way for her to make it that far.
Yeah. And part of me wonders if they didn't know about an idol. Never mind. I was going to say the only reason that she didn't go the first episode was they were worried if she had an idol, but they didn't know about that twist. So never mind.
Okay. Yeah, she's not coming back.
I'm honestly kind of sad.
And there's honestly not a whole lot out there.
I'm going to miss Evil Twyla.
That's fair. But there is an article from Reality Blurred, which is just like a one-on-one interview from 2009. And there are... I'm going to jump around here in this article.
Jump around.
They have contestants and they have characters. And I think I'm a character, Survivor Token Sheen's cast member Sandy told me during our conversation in Brazil. And jumping down a little further,
Sandy was impossibly excited. Her language is colorful. You shitheads, she called the casting producers. And besides referring to me often as Little Mister and Buddy and Sweetheart, she'd frequently pepper her nonstop sentences with "and everything" or "shit" and "fuck" delivered in her deep Kentucky accent. There's no denying that the 53-year-old mother who wears a dehydrated raccoon penis around her neck...
Hold on. Is there more any more information about that?
I... No.
Okay. We're just gonna move on. Just gonna move okay.
Right past that. And one, the state bus driving rodeo is fascinating. But it wasn't an infectious enthusiasm. It quickly became kind of annoying. Hence yeah. her low rank. But to her credit, she acknowledges that I've got to take me... I've got it, take, oh my god, this is hard to read. I've got it, take me and my persona down 3 or 4 notches. Bottom line, I'm hyper in my diaper, unmedicated ADHD adult, she said. Although she's completely self-diagnosed, I make my own self crazy at times, Sandy told me. So she knows that she has to calm down so that they don't get upset with my demeanor or my being boisterous. I've got to really be middle of the road.
Wow.
At 53, she knows her age might be a problem. These kids out here, shit, she said. Fuck, I've got wrinkles and shit. I'm just going to end it there.
Wow. I mean, her age wasn't the problem, no. To be fair.
It was the hyper in the diaper. Wow, how did we get back to diapers?
How did we get back to diapers?
Oh, no.
Wow. You know, we've called people furries. We've talked about diapers. Is this what you guys want?
Not me.
Too bad.
Oh, okay.
You're stuck with me.
You're protagonist of the episode.
I think it's Taj.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a good pick.
Yeah, she's the one that gets the Fishbach Alliance set up. She's the one that then gets the Sierra part of the Alliance set up as uh-huh. well. We see a lot of the vote conversation through her eyes. Everyone else is kind of ensemble in that. Like, we see a little bit of JT and Joe talking. We see a little bit of Sandy, of course. But, like, I think it's mostly focused around Taj's episode. Even the next time on is a little focused around Taj, because apparently she crashes out.
Hell yeah. Great. Anything before we shut this down?
Don't poop in the diaper.
Oh, bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Turn Back Time podcast. Jared, I'm going to ask you what you would like to promote, and it better not be what I think you're going to say.
He says with fear in his eyes and hesitation in his voice.
Swear to God, what would you like to promote?
Adult, no, I'm kidding. I'm going to promote spending time near bodies of water.
Oh.
I went down to the lake today, and it was nice. Just like, I was reading some scripts. It was fucking cold, but that's just because... the weather in Chicago has been like feeling like late winter, early spring, and we're almost in fucking June, and yeah. I'm sick of it. We have beach volleyball in 7 days, and it's 50 goddamn degrees.
Yeah, we do.
Abhorrent, but it improved my mood. Good. And, you know, reconnect to nature, become monkey.
Jared, haven't you multiple times on mic said water is scary?
Okay, big lake, not scary. Also, I'm not saying get in the water. But there's something about, like, the air off of the large bodies of water that is very refreshing. Like, I like a beach.
Okay.
And no, the Great Lakes are not scary. Well, they are. I'm not going to go out into a boat in the middle of them. Beaches are fine.
Okay.
Yeah, if I can walk in the water, we're fine. Anyway, what about you, Steven?
I'm going to promote. This is going to sound like an ad, but it's really just me because I'm excited about it. The Wendy's Frosty. It's fucking good, man. I love me a Frosty.
I love my Frosty.
I the Survivor Frosty.
Man, sponsored by Frosty.
They should have done a corporate tie-in.
I'm surprised they didn't, honestly.
No, Frosties are really good. It's something about that like mix of it's solid, but it's also pretty liquidy. It's pretty great.
I like that you just described a shake.
But like it has more rigidity to it than a shake.
Okay.
I can't explain it. Frosty good.
I think we're losing our minds.
It is 10:30. We've been recording for about 3 hours now. Yeah.
Wow. This is our life now that we're in rehearsals.
For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
My host Steven, this is Jared.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.